You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Thank you so much for being here tonight, and I think we've got a special treat tonight. And I'm going to let Brother Charles come and tell you about that. So, Brother Charles.
Right. Yes, we do have a special treat tonight. Leland just reminded me of a song we need to do sometime at the Rec Room. Yeah, we're talking about Give It and Giggle. Did y'all know there's a giggle song? Yeah, there really is. We'll do it sometime. We'll have a good time. We'll do that sometime. But tonight, this is no giggling matter. Kenny's come a long way since he started playing with us. He has sung a song. He has helped me sing several songs. He has played the guitar. He's played the bass. Now he's got a steel guitar, a new play pretty back here that he's playing. And now, tonight, he's going to sing a special song all by himself. And this is a new one, so y'all give Kenny a big hand. Hold on.
If you would tonight to the book of Deuteronomy. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, fifth book in the Bible. That's where we're going to start. And if you'd like to turn there, but you don't have a Bible, you've got a problem. Would you like to have a Bible? If you'd like to have one, we'll get you one. Here they come. And let me say this about the Bible. If you don't have a Bible here with you in Odessa, then keep that one as the Rec Room's gift to you. We'd like for you to have it. Huh? That's right. Book of Deuteronomy. Everybody got a Bible that needs one. Okay, book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to start in the 13th chapter. I get articles and emails and news publications every week that are pointing out the lowering of God's standards. I've never seen such an onslaught of people welching on what they used to believe even 10 years ago. God has become less strict. God has become less exacting. God has become less honest. God has become almost like an old grandpa to many people. And I'm talking about folks that know better. They got those doctors by their names, got all those degrees. I remember an old boy came home with a lot of degrees, and he was pretty proud of them. And two of the old farmers talked about it. They knew him when he was a kid and going to high school, learned. One of them said, "Man alive," said, "what all them initials after his name mean?" That other old farmer turned to him and he said, "Well, you know what BS means." He said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "The MS means more of the same. And PhD means piled higher and deeper." And that's about what they are. But there are people that are knowledgeable, supposedly. And they're changing. God didn't really mean this. So we're going to go back and just talk about what God was like in Deuteronomy chapter 13. And this is right in the midst of the Mosaic Law. And we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to read some verses here. And it has to do with their religious lifestyle. All we're going to read about doesn't have a thing in the world to do with pornography, drugs, alcohol, or adultery. It has to do with their religious lifestyle. And he said, "If there arise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass." Now notice, it works. "It comes to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul." Notice here he said, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put evil away from the midst of thee. Now notice, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely, the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, are far off from thee, from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shall thou spare, neither shall thou conceal him, but thou shalt kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. Thou shalt stone him with stones." That was the capital punishment in Israel, stoning. Thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among them. Notice the strictness. Notice the straightforwardness. Notice the plainness of how God said the nation of Israel, his people, were to act at that time. The problem with them, they got their beliefs from. Like I said, it had nothing to do with their lifestyle. It had to do with their beliefs. Our classes here very often, when we're discussing some things, criminal justice system works on what they call behavior modification. That means that they're going to put you somewhere and make you behave. And I guess they hope that once you leave there, you're still going to behave, and we've noticed that didn't work. In Luke, we work off what we call belief modification. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. What you believe is how you're going to act. What I believe is how I'm going to act. If you believe they're checking driver's license down the street, you don't have any, you won't go that way. It's that very simple. If you believe that you were going to get caught, what you got caught for, you wouldn't have done it that day. You'd have changed that program. See, if belief controls our behavior, does not control our belief in any form or fashion. God laid out the practice in dealing with other gods. He also laid out the penalty. Now then, turn with me to the book of Malachi. When I first started going to Big Spring Federal Prison, that's the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. When I started going to Big Spring Federal Prison, I had a young man, drug dealer that came, ex-drug dealer, that came to my Bible class, and he was a battalion born. And he called this Malachi. He says, the only book in the Bible that an Italian wrote, Book of Malachi. I said, what? Malachi. Okay. Notice in Malachi, because what I read is spoofed and spoofed by everybody. That's Old Testament. That's law. God's not like that anymore. Look what Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says. For I am, not was, I am the Lord, and I change not. That's, now then, we've started at the beginning of the Bible. We hit about the middle of it. Now we're going to go to right at the end of it, 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, that's a little bitty book before you get to the Revelation. If you get to Revelation, then you've gone too far. Come on. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, most people, that didn't sound like it back over in Deuteronomy. Love is the very nature of God. And if there's any doubt ever in your mind about that, let me take you to a place called Calvary, where God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God gave his Son, his only begotten. I got three boys. I wouldn't give a one of them for it. You know what? I wouldn't give one boy for the other. But God gave the only Son he had. He didn't have his spare. And he gave him for us. God is love. His very nature. That's God's nature. is love. That's why throughout this Bible, he's got that invitation. That's also why when he said, if you start doing these things, it's going to get you in trouble. Back when people told you you shouldn't get on by drugs, it wasn't because they wanted you to just have a boring life. They tried to protect you. Many of the very people that we got mad at and didn't told him to get out of our life, the next time we contacted him, we said, would you put some money on the books? All of a sudden, those people that we didn't have anything to do with became the only people that were still there for us. Be glad, be thankful that somebody loved you enough that they didn't want to see you ruin your life. Most people don't care. In fact, it helps their thinking because they look, old Joe's not doing it, so I got an excuse not to do it. Susie's not doing it, I got an excuse not to do it. This is God's love. But let me tell you something about God's love. He does not love indiscriminately. It's just not everybody for everything. Wait a minute. Surely God's not going to, you know, I talked, some of you said this. Well, I'm doing what's right. I was doing good. One guy told me the other day, he said, I've been sober 2 days. I said, well, let me go see if I can get a medal. Put it around your neck. Well, I wasn't doing anything good. Well, what were you doing? I mean, I wasn't doing anything bad. What were you doing right? Let me tell you what happens. I've never seen it change this way. Nobody ever starts living for the Lord and then one day just goes bad. It never happens. You know what happens? You quit reading your Bible. You quit praying. You quit hanging around God's people. Quit church. Ain't not any magic in church, but it beats the bar. You're going to hang. Let me tell you, look at the class of people you hanging around with down at the bar. They don't trust you, you don't trust them, and it's probably good you don't. Everybody's cynical, everybody's bitter, everybody thinks the worst of everybody. And that's where we're going to be happy. Come on, man. Be honest with ourselves a little bit. Let me tell you, God, because He does love, also hates. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, right in about the middle of our Bible, right after the book of Psalms. The book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 16. Notice the words. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look. Where would you find that? On a dining room table? On a piano? Where do you find a proud look? On a proud person? A proud look. A lying tongue. Where would you find that? In a person's mouth. Hands that shed innocent blood. They're hooked to her arms and arms hooked to her body. That's us. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Seven things God lives that he hates. This is God who is love, but anybody that loves the flowers hates the weeds. You can't have one without the other. Every battery can't run unless it's got a positive and a negative pole. It has to have that balance. Turn with me to the book of Hosea. right past the book of Daniel. Just start going to the right there a little bit. You'll come to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Right on the other side of Daniel, it's a little book called Hosea. Chapter 9, verse 15. He said, all their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. That's the God who said, I change not. Jesus himself said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at Hebrews. Look at, back to Malachi again. Chapter 1. An unusual statement in verse 2 and 3. He's speaking to Israel. He said, I've loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob. And what? I hated Esau. They're brothers. They were twin brothers. He said, I love Jacob. Hated Esau. His love is not, there's no higher threshold of love than what God did on the cross when he gave his son. And there's no greater love than what the son did. He prayed three times, let this cup pass from me. And in that cup that Christ is going to have to drink, in that cup is all the child abuse, all the drunkenness, all the fornication, all the drug addiction, all the stealing, all the rottenness, all the cursing of God, every sin that you can think of. And in order for Jesus Christ to pay my debt, he's got to take my sins. He's got to break that cup of sin. Bible says God made him to be sin for us. And he knew no sin. But he became sin for us that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. He paid our debt. He was our substitute. He took our place. God gave the best he had. He couldn't have given any more. And I want to show you a verse along with it. Romans chapter 8. That great Holy Spirit chapter in the Bible. There's more references to the Holy Spirit in Romans 8 than there is in the entire book of 1 Corinthians. It talks about the gifts of the Spirit. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I meet people and they say, I'm mad at God. He took my brother. I'm mad at God. Let my daddy die of cancer. I'm mad at God. Let mama have a heart attack. I'm mad at God. Let this happen. I've lost my child. Let me tell you why. Because Jesus Christ paid the price, there's more to come. It's not over down here. There's a heaven. And he said, he that spared not his own son. If you think for a minute that he that didn't spare Jesus Christ is going to withhold a job from you, is going to withhold an insurance policy, is going to withhold some little Mickey Mouse, something like that, so you, somebody go out there and blame God, we get mad at God, we throw a fit, you didn't do me right. He said, all those things, they're just a drop in a bucket compared to that price he paid with Jesus Christ. You think if I give you all of that, that I'm going to withhold something that's good for you? I'm going to use saints. Not what you want, what you get does you good. Yeah. Didn't realize that for a long time, but that's so true. Those things. God does not hold anything good. Paul went to him. Bible didn't tell us what it was. Keeps it a secret. Just said that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Paul had some kind of problem bothering him in his body. Whether some of those Bible scholars seemed to think he had an eye problem, couldn't see good. Some thought it was something else. Nobody, the Bible doesn't say. So, and I'm sure if the Bible had said, then you and I are all caught it. We want it to be like that. But Paul three times went to him and he said, Lord, take this away from me. Man, I could be a much better preacher if I didn't have this physical problem. I could get to more places if I didn't have this physical problem. I could serve you better if I didn't have this problem. Lord, take it away from me. Bible said, God said, that ain't what you need. You don't need that. Well, why not? God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul then said, most gladly, therefore will I glory in my affirmatives that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We don't ever do that, do we? We just moan about it. We complain about it. We gripe about it. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my affirmative. He said, I'd rather be crippled and have the power of God. I'd rather be sick than have the power of God. I read a couple, 3 weeks ago about Charles Haddon Spurgeon sharing this with her Sunday school class. Charles Haddon Spurgeon considered the prince of preachers. Charles Haddon Spurgeon died in his 50s. Didn't have a good day. He had to cancel over 30% of his speaking engagements because of his ill health. And along with his problems, his wife had complications delivering her twin boys. And she stayed in worse shape than he did. Their life was a burden. Painful every day. And yet this man saw more people saved, preached, got into more fights with the convention of his time. In fact, they kicked him out of the Baptist convention. And he pastored the Metropolitan Baptist Church in London, England. One time a huge church. Constantly heartache and burden and pain. And yet he's remembered not as a cripple, not as somebody that had to check out many times and couldn't make a third of his speaking engagement, but the prince of preachers. Most glad he could glorify. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. You got a problem, God's grace is sufficient for you. I don't care what it is. Thank you. God gave his son. But he is. Somebody said this, and I don't know that I could disagree with them. They made this statement that anybody that would reject the payment of Jesus Christ for mine and your sin just simply deserves to go to hell. He wouldn't like it in heaven. God gave. And when Jesus said, I'm the way, he didn't say, I'm one of the ways, I'm a good way, I'm a better way, I'm a religious way, I'm a fine way, I'm a nice way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, not one of the truths, not several different truths. He said, I'm the truth and the life. You want to have everlasting life? It's one place. not Mohammed, it's not in the Hindu religion, it's not in atheism, it's not in the New Age, it's in Jesus. In fact, it's not in the Baptist, the Presbyterian, and the Methodist. It's in Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. All heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, nobody looking around. You're here tonight, and maybe you didn't realize that Jesus Christ died just for you. Maybe you've never thought about that. Maybe you didn't realize that God really means what He says and says what He means. And you say, Leland, if I were to die tonight, I wouldn't go to heaven. If that Bible is correct, I wouldn't go to heaven. According to that Bible, I'm lost. I've never been saved. There's no reason that God would let me into heaven. Would you pray for me? I don't want to be in that position. Would you pray for me that I get to know Jesus Christ? While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, will you just slip up your hand real quickly? God bless you, sir. I see you in yours. I see your hand slipping right back down. Anyone else, real quickly? Pray for me. Yes, I see your hands at the back, both of you. Yes, yours, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. God bless you. Anyone else, real quickly, before we pray? Yes, I see yours. We're going to pray. Now, let's do it carefully. I beg you. I'm not ordering you. I'm not giving you commands. I'm begging you. While I'm praying, I want you to, in your heart of hearts, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and we all know that. I'm a sinner. I trust Jesus Christ. I trust Jesus Christ that He died for me and He arose again so I could go to heaven. If that's the truth, I'm putting all my faith and trust in that. I'm giving my soul to Jesus this very night. What else comes after that, I don't have a clue. I don't know, but I know tonight I'm surrendering to Jesus Christ. I want you to pray that prayer while I pray. Our Father, You saw the hands. You know the hearts. And I pray that this very night, that some men and women, that when they walked in here, were on their road to heaven, will walk out of here on their road to heaven. I pray that right now, they're surrendering their all to You. They're turning it over to You, whatever it takes. We don't understand it all, but You do. But say, Lord, take it. I pray You'll help them to do that. And then, Father, when they've done that, I pray that You will help them to step out and come down to this front and say, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And also, Father, I'm sure there's some of You children here that have drifted a long way from You. Their life's been a shipwreck. It's been horrible. And they're miserable. Help them to come tonight and renew their vows to You. We ask these things in Christ's name. While heads are still bowed, eyes still closed, stand to your feet. Brother Charles starts, just as I am without one plea, will you come on that very first verse and say, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm coming tonight. Just as I am. God bless you. Thank you. you to do. And I want to be on Jesus' side. I want to do that. Come right on. Expected of you as a Christian, what's going to happen? And I'm going to tell you, it's not a cakewalk. So we want to arm you for that. Anything on that table, all the reading material and everything is free of charge. So get it. The refreshment bar will be open. Thank you for coming. God bless you. If you can be of any help, holler at us. Our Father, we pray now for this group. We pray now that you watch over us.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.